Hello and welcome to the Hooniverse podcast. Welcome to 2022, motherfuckers. Shit hasn't changed. Look around.
Still kicking.
I'm your host, Jeff Glucker. I'm joined by my wonderful friend, Ron Baugh. How are you, Ron?
I'm swell.
Excellent.
I mean, I think we should acknowledge the fact that technically this is not 2022 for you and me right now.
Don't spoil the illusion.
So, I mean, we might not make it. We might not make it into 2022. So
Fair point.
I only say that, honestly, like, I don't mean to be morbid, but yesterday I walked just half a block to my local dispensary to pick up some goodies for this week of sort of vacation.
Right.
And I walked through an intersection. I thought, this is weird because they've kind of got like parklets and they've got the streets sort of closed. Like there's water barriers, but there's no water in them. Mm. And there's typically a road close sign that I guess fell down in the wind and the rain. And there's like a weird gap. And like, I walked through there and I was just like, this is really confusing. This is really weird. And it's really dangerous. But like, I went to go pick up the road closed sign and it was only half of it. You know, it's like a folding, you know, A-frame sign, whatever. But only half of it was there. I was like, oh, well, that's why that doesn't stand up. I got home 5 minutes later, mad cops, mad fire department. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, but I mean, it's kind of typical also, like it's not really that out of the ordinary. So I look and I see, and like after like 5-10 minutes, they all leave. So I think nothing of it, but then I get an update on Instagram from like one of these Long Beach news sites that I follow. And basically there was a fatality, like motorist versus pedestrian accident at that same intersection where I was standing and thinking about that yesterday. So yeah, man, nothing is promised. Like, you know, we should be thankful for every single breath, every step we get to take, because I had thought, wow, this is dangerous. Less than 10 minutes later, a woman was hit by a car and killed in that same intersection.
Jesus Christ.
And it wasn't even open to cross traffic. So sorry.
We're going to start 2022.
Dark and morbid, but
we're going to start 2022 on a high note for the podcast.
Hopefully you and I do make it to 2022 to see the broadcast of this podcast.
Yes, we will. I have faith. What are you drinking?
Old Faithful Bullet. I'm almost out, so I think I'm going to make a Bullet eggnog.
Ooh, mix. Okay. That could be interesting.
My second round. What you got?
Just a simple West Coast IPA from Modern Times. Nothing special. My fridge is kind of empty at the moment, and my wife and daughter are out of town, so I'm skipping dinner and going straight to beer.
I did the same. I had a snack. I had a grilled cheese, but I'm saving dinner for after the podcast.
Yeah, but then if I eat weed and then I get hungry and then I'm like, I blew the whole calorie saving thing anyway. So it's
wondering how that would go. You can just look at me because that's my order of operations.
I did that the other night. I did that like a week ago where I had a big lunch. I skipped dinner. My wife skipped dinner. We're like, you know what? Let's skip dinner tonight. She went to bed. I stayed up. I tried to make it through the new Matrix enhanced. Mentally enhanced.
You watch that on TV online?
With HBO Max, watching it on HBO Max.
Oh, really?
Watching it. And I started to fall asleep, but then at like 11, I was like, yo, I'm hungry. And I had leftover Chinese food and I wolfed it down. I was like, fuck, I'm eating a ton. I'm eating late, which is even worse. Like,
did you even bother to heat it up?
I definitely heated it up, but I probably had like some chocolate shit because you have stuff in the house from the holidays. I threw a bunch of it out today and yesterday. My goal is to get back in shape because all the weight I lost a bunch of weight at the beginning of COVID and I've gained all that shit back and now I'm trying to like fix it again. But this is a car podcast, so let's talk about some cars and alcohol. We always talk about alcohol, but all right. The IPA is sitting tough. We're kicking it off with auction information. And tonight, because we always do bring a trailer, I'm going to give bring a trailer a rest for a second.
Fuck,
I'm going to we're starting with, I wanted to look at a different auction to see if it was as insane as what happens on bring a trailer. Spoiler alert, it's not. But I did find a good buy and what I think is just kind of not a great buy. So first up, the good buy. 1982 Mercury Capri RS 5.0. Basically a weird looking Fox Body Mustang, and I mean that in a good way. $13,388. This thing is sweet.
I think it's a great buy, but I mean, it's a garbage ass car. Like, to leave stock and to drive around, like, it's probably four speed here. I'm trying to see.
It's a manual.
It's manual, but I think it was a four speed.
Probably. 82, yeah.
I don't think they had T5s until like the transmission, S-Rod, which features four forward speeds. Yeah, fucking. It's not like, what does it say?
But
157 horsepower. Like, it's
but,
a good.
But
goodbye for a shell, for a unique basis for a
you
project.
You clear out the emission shit on the engine as best you can. Power will come
where,
up.
Where are you driving this car? You're not in California.
Well, you could. There are ways to bring that engine back to a healthier place. But sure. also 5 liter V8. I feel like with that car, if you take the 5 liter V8 and you upgrade the 5 liter V8, it's still a 5 liter V8.
Time out. It's not. It's not an HO, a high output 5.0. Like the HO 5.0s were 86 and after. I think they all like there were some models that had forged pistons, but I think these had hypertectic pistons, whatever the fuck that is. But like, they weren't forged pistons and they weren't the hypo, like high compression. Like, that's why.
Is it the same block though?
It's the same block, but it takes a lot of work to, like, I think it's even a different firing order. Oh, this shit actually says high output. So let me shut the fuck up. But still, 157 horsepower was high output. Like, I really don't think this car had the same, firing order and like everything that you would have found on 86 or later.
So it had a different, crank, which is probably solvable.
Yeah.
Either way, 32,000 miles.
It's a good basis. It's a good basis for a cool build, but like, for a $13,000 driving experience, like, there's a lot of European cars between now and then that would be a lot more fun and be a lot, I don't know. It's cool looking.
It's cool looking. It is cool looking.
TRX wheels, which are weird, like, diameter.
Okay.
They were specific, like, they weren't like 15 inch. They weren't 16 inch. They were like 15.3 inch.
Oh, really?
Like that.
Something that rounds up to like some millimeters.
Exactly. You were limited to tire sizes. Like, listen, I love a Fox body of any sort, but I don't know. 13 grand for what basically amounts to a fucking glorified Escort.
That I am so,
you know, loses value with every move you make to it. Like,
I am very excited that we found a Ford where you disagree with me on. This is great. Finally.
Like, I see this thing fucking slammed. Like, you know, the Capri fenders were wider.
Yeah.
So you could fit a wider wheel and tire and they look more aggressive.
The spoiler looks dope.
Yeah, they basically had like E30 like M3 box flares. Like,
it's a baby Dominator.
Like, you don't have to sell me. Like, I have a vision. Like, I could fucking, yeah, I could spend $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 and like have a vision for this car and make it something fucking cool and not necessarily worth any more than it is currently.
That's true.
A lot more fun to drive.
So,
I don't know. I honestly think it's a good deal. Like,
yeah, it's,
you know,
a good deal.
Something that I could see some idiot paying fucking $50,000 for just because they're told, oh, there's only 200 of these with this.
Exactly. And but, I think it helps that we're not on Bring a Trailer for this one, so it feels like a better deal than someone paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for this. It feels like a good price for that car.
Right.
The next one,
you're not gonna enjoy driving it as is. That's my only point. You will hate driving it as is.
A slow as shit, yeah.
The slow next as shit, won't sound good, won't handle, won't break. Like,
need some Borlas on that. The next one. 1967. This is the badge. And this is from Hemmings. 1967 Austin Healey 3000 Mark III for 84,000 miles, for $84,000 with nearly 100,000 miles. The car looks very clean, but it's just a fucking Austin Healey. 84,000.
Listen, they call these the big Healeys, right? Like, whatever.
This is a big Healey.
I don't know if that is a matter of cubic inches.
I think it is.
Physical size, yeah, I imagine it's about motor size. But I don't know, man. Like, I don't know too much about these cars, and I've never driven one, so I don't have much of an opinion. But I will say this. I had a neighbor growing up in Atlanta that was a little person, a dwarf, whatever. And he had two cars when I was growing up. I just drive by his house every day. I'm like, oh, those cars are cool because you don't see those in a neighborhood like ours, right? And they were just in the driveway. One was a MG and one was a Healy like this. And later in the 90s, he got an S2000.
Yeah.
And it was super weird to see this dude walk out and like climb in his cars and like, you know, warm him up and like drive off. But like, it was cool. Like, it was just like, that dude is doing something that I've never seen in this neighborhood, right? Like,
yeah.
I had neighbors that had like Fiats, like 70s Fiats, those like rear engine or mid engine Fiats. But like, it was super cool to see him like go out and cruise around in these things because nobody else had them. So I don't know. I mean, like, I have no idea what these things are worth, but like, I don't imagine that I would fit very well or enjoy driving it. But like, I'm sure somebody would absolutely love this.
84, geez. That's a, oh, no, thank you. However, so here's what I'm going to say. The disclaimer on this, it was way, way harder to find any bad buys on Hemmings. There's a lot of muscle car shit that was priced at numbers that make sense to me over the course of the last few years.
Yeah.
It was so much harder where when I go and bring a trailer, I found one. It was like the one of the first listings. I'm like, fuck this. So I am bringing one in from Bring a Trailer. And you know I love Mercedes stuff. But this is fucking stupid.
And but I can't afford it. That's my only gripe. And this is a case in point.
So 2014 Mercedes-Benz G63 AMG 6x6 tuned by Brabus. 1.35 million. And I know they cost this much. I know when they were new, they were like $750,000, $800,000. I get it.
This looks identical to Dan Bilzerian's. I don't know if it was his.
I wouldn't be surprised because it was in Arizona or his neck of the woods or something.
I mean, you can only like, for a while, you can only buy and register these in states like Arizona. Like,
this is show and display.
Exactly. Everybody that had one, like, registered in Arizona or Montana or somewhere, you know, weird like that.
So someone paid $1.35 million for a vehicle that is show and display. And that means you can only drive it up to 2,500 miles a year, which it's a 2014 with only 8,000 miles anyway. $1.35 million for a G-Class that is, I would say, worse than a regular G-Class.
Worse with 700 horsepower and 708 pound-feet of torque? Yes. I don't know about that.
Yes.
Worse?
It's heavier. It can't do.
It's got 700 horsepower.
It cannot do the same stuff on the trails that it could do before. It is now a worse than what? Off-road vehicle.
What are we comparing this to? I'm sorry.
A regular G550 on a trail.
37s. Portal axles.
Breakover angle is ruined. Portal axles. The portal axle part is fucking dope, but you can get that on a non 6x6 4x4 squared.
Right.
And those are crazy expensive.
You don't get six wheels.
I will fully admit that if the price wasn't $1.35 million, I'd be like, yo, that would be so fun to just.
But what price would that make sense for you? Like, you know, it's just exclusivity. That's what you're paying for. You're not paying.
I'm just kidding. Right. No, I don't know. But then that number is so stupid to me for that car.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's one of those things where it's, you got to pay to get it because it's, they don't exist.
What?
They are show and display.
Where is the market for G63 AMG 6x6s going?
Somebody will tell us, but listen, man.
Is he going to make money on it?
I guarantee you nobody spent less than $1 million on one of these.
You're probably right.
Brabus package and all.
Right. That's a big jump. I get it. I just think it's
I'm staring insane at it like it's going to like somehow like infuse knowledge and like understanding of the market. No, it's just like that doesn't exist. So if you want like the most fuck you douchebag fucking 4x4 truck ever, that's it. Like, and you're going to pay for it.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it costs. Right. It's a point of pride for you to pay the most for it.
Right. A Dan Bilzerian douchebag.
Exactly.
100%. Fuck him.
By the way, his whole fucking fortune, his whole lifestyle is fake as fuck.
Stolen valor bullshit.
Do not fucking at me because these are just facts.
Block, block, block. See you later. No thanks. All right. Moving on to the past. the most memorable car shit of 2021. And Ron, you've taken notes, as you showed me before the show. So line it up. You go first.
For me, I had a handful of experiences that kind of defined my year and, like, I don't know, just, I don't want to say elevated my stature or prestige or understanding of the automotive world, but these are things that were all really fun and, like, things that I did not expect and I just was kind of surprised by this year. And number one was hosting that Peterson panel in February, because it was Black History Month, where basically I was able to get our friend Killer Mike, Currency, Chris Mills, former NBA player, our buddy Garrett from American Muscle HD, plus a friend of mine, Mark from Stunt World in Atlanta. Like, basically it was a discussion of Black car culture, and it was like, I was kind of tapped to just recruit the cast and the panelists. And then I was like, well, wait a minute, you know all these guys, like, would you mind hosting it? And I was just like, that's not something I really want to do. But when I actually thought about it, I was like, there's literally nobody else that's friends with all of these people and knows them and can communicate with them. And I said yes. And it was kind of a rambling mess that was unedited, and there was a lot of weed smoke, and there was a lot of banter, but it was a good time. And it was just like, it was a real honest conversation of, like, you know, between a bunch of car guys that were from varying backgrounds, but it was fun.
So that you needed Michael Thomas.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Like, next time.
Next time we cannot do it without Michael and his Pink Floyd van, which is like the fucking coolest thing that has ever existed.
I'm going to flash a pic of that in an episode, I think.
Please do. Please do. Besides that, like, I don't know. I've had a lot of fun kind of stacked here later in the year. I mean, I'm working on a show for Hemmings. With our buddy Mike Musto, and hopefully that we've already recorded it, and it surrounds, at least the first episode surrounds my Tahoe, so hopefully that gets picked up, and we get to make some more shows in 2022. Probably my proudest accomplishment of 2021 is winning my episode of Shift Talkers. Thanks to you. I appreciate the opportunity. But no, that was super fun. And it's like, honestly, that's hard to believe that that was this year.
Who did you beat? I honestly don't remember.
Well, I was teammates with Tony Angelo.
Okay. Good teammate.
And yeah, we smoked Blossom Wassef and Jason Torchinski.
Okay. Good. That's a good group.
Yeah. I mean, it was January, so that feels like ages ago, honestly. Like, I was just thinking about that today, and I was just like, oh my god, like, that does not feel like 2021 at all. Yeah. But that was cool, man. Like, you know, I had a hey ma moment when we were on Motor Trend TV, like, on, at least for me, Hulu, like, you know, on cable.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm on TV.
It's cool, man. It's a cool feeling.
100%. So thanks to you for that, because obviously you're the host, and you and Bart were so kind to cast me and give me an opportunity. But that was fun. I mean, it really was.
We really just needed a black guy for that episode. And
I already had KJ. Like, who else we got?
KJ's awesome.
I know this one guy, but
let me call my friend. it's fucked up.
Some of the best, like, actual automotive fun that I had this year was off-roading a couple weeks ago.
Hell yeah.
We went out to shoot with the Gladiator, our new Bronco, and a couple of my coworkers and friends that had Raptors, or anti-Raptors, as it were.
Yeah.
And that was my first real off-road experience and something that was capable. And we talked about it before, but, like, that was a fucking dope experience.
It changes shit up here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does. Like, and it's like, you know, it really makes you think about your approach to driving day to day and understanding vehicle dynamics. Like, you know, there's just certain things that I would never, like, subject my own personal vehicles to. unless they were built for it.
Right.
You know, it's like I had a bad off-road experience with our buddy Anthony's TRD Tundra a couple years ago. I collapsed a shock and like fucked his truck up.
So
and
funny.
I owe him a set of wheels for that, which will happen very soon. But like my previous off-road experiences were whack. And this was so cool because it was like seasoned veterans and they were out just having fun. And we were out like on a Wednesday. And like, yep, that was one of my favorite automotive memories of this year. Just being able to get off-road, like experience that lifestyle. And it was just like, it was for work. Like we all got paid, which is super dope. But like, we all would have been there regardless. You know, it's like, it was really eye-opening and it was really exciting. And now I'm like, yo, I don't mind getting dirty and going out.
Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait till next year where I'm going to call you like, nah, man, I'm out of the dunes. You're wearing like Fast House shirts and Go Fast, Don't Die and fucking Troy Lee. And like,
I want to go to Glamis.
I've heard that's a fucking place. I've never been. I've heard it's a place. I've driven in Pismo. Briefly, and it's very intimidating.
Yeah.
Just because the dunes are, I've never done dunes before that. I've done off-roading, Baja level off-roading, and then just general trail running. But the dunes are like this weird wasteland where you do not know how much the drop is on the other side. And that's why everybody has the flags, because you don't know who's where. And it's not just you. It's little kids on dirt bikes, like wheeling past you. It is, dude, so like a Glamis, shit gets gnarly out there.
Right. But now I want to experience that. I want to see what that's all about.
Hell yeah.
I got friends that have been going for years, but like, I just have little 5-second videos to judge it.
No, I'm sure to be fucking wild. Rad. Good choices, good memorable car shit. This beer is making me super burpy. My picks for my most memorable car shit of 2021. I thought of this real quick because I wrote the script today, and I'm sure tomorrow I'm gonna be like, oh fuck, what about this that I did? Right. So, this is my off the top of my head list, the first for me was finally driving the new Bronco, because it was such a hyped up vehicle, and I'm happy to say that it lived up to all of the hype. Both engines, both gearboxes. I expected the little engine manual gearbox to actually not be good. You know, in off-road vehicles, often the manual gearbox is the weak link in some of these vehicles. Yeah, go for it. In some of these vehicles, the manual gearbox can be the weak link, but that Bronco with the little engine and the crawler gear can go up fucking anything. The Bronco with the big engine and the 10-speed just absolutely rips, and I really, really, really enjoyed it. The thing looks good. It's comfortable. The hardtop sucks shit, but they're working on it. But overall, the only thing killing the launch of the Bronco is supply chain issues and delivery and markups. But otherwise, the Bronco is fucking great. The second thing on my list of three was launching a car show with our friend Bradley Brownell and a handful of other wonderful people. Autopia 2099. We did it. It went as well as you could want a first ever show of art for us to go. And we're working on two for next year with literally everyone who was involved in the first one from a sponsorship side immediately said we want in on the next one, and we're getting more interest from other people. And so I think it's looking, we'll have more info starting in January, even though you're listening to this in January. We'll have more info soon in January about when and where. We're probably going to replicate the LA show for end of year 2022, but we're thinking a spring show possibly in the Bay Area. So if you're interested in that, keep your options, eyes, and ears opened. We would love to have you. It's only going to get bigger and better with more people, cooler cars, and all that fun shit. And it's really exciting to do, even though it's nerve-wracking as fuck. The last pick... for me, for 2021, has been falling in love with electric Porsches. If you asked me, say you had to get rid of all your cars and you could have one car and you had the money to get the car you wanted, if I was forced to pick one car to drive for the next however long, it would be an electric Porsche wagon. The car is essentially perfect for me in what it can do. It's insane power, insane delivery, insane comfort, excellent style, effortlessly good-looking vehicle and just it delivers on everything it promises and more. I absolutely fucking love the electric Porsche wagons. It's so good. So good.
I want to go. That is something that I'm looking forward to and 2022 is getting to enjoy vehicles such as that.
Because yes. Maybe we'll... You know,
it's a necessary component for our business in creating wheels. Like, that is a huge focus for us, but like, they just seem to be the best vehicles all around, you know, by the automotive press and journalists such as yourselves. Yeah. And I would love to kind of get to enjoy that.
I've never been a big Porsche homer. There's like a lot of people, right. There's a lot of people in this industry who are like, oh, Porsche, nothing but a Porsche, blah, 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 Porsche. and I've never been that way. And then I'm driving a few here and there. And as soon as you get into it, you're like, God damn it. There's a read, like my dog's making noise. Now I kind of want a 996 or a 997. Not that I can afford them. We missed the boat on them. Right. And yeah, man, I'm starting to understand the Porsche bug. I'm never going to get out of the off-road bug and that side of it and the V8 power bug and all that good stuff. But there's a little bit of a Porsche bug in there too now.
I get it. I've been somewhat transformed myself over the last few years.
Yeah. Just
pretty undeniable.
Yes. Now, random next, I don't have a segue for this, but this is the next bullet point on my list. Did you watch it? Because it came out the day... Thank you for dropping that, Pearl. That was my dog. Did you watch the, if I turn down the light, you can probably see her. Pearl. Nope. Oh, come here.
Hey, girl. She's looking like, yo, I don't know why you're doing this to me.
Oh, good girl. Okay. Go get your stuff. Turn the light back on. There we go. Too bright. So, did you watch... It came out the day we're recording this. Amped.
Nope.
So, I love off-road marketing trophy truck videos because it showcases the trucks in just a different light of Baja or the Mint 400 or any of these videos where you just see them flat out for hours on end. And you're like, okay, like you don't get to see the full technical capabilities of what these trucks can do. I mean, you are, but it doesn't seem as impressive as you.
Little context, like they're just, you know, it's like suspension's doing its job, but everything is doing its job, so it doesn't look that impressive.
Yeah. Unless you really know what's happening, you're like, that is fucking amazing. Right. So, Amped is a video put out probably by. I think the big sponsor is probably Toyo Tires, but really the big sponsor is Alan Ampudia himself. Alan Ampudia is a very well-known and successful Baja off-road racer whose family also happens to own Papas and Beer.
Right.
So he's a rich dude down in Mexico who's
really – partnered with Ken Block and
they did.
Jax, the Redline family.
Jack,
Baja effort, right?
Yep. And Alan is a has won Baja as well. But for this video, it's him and Lil Jon. And they have to go from a party hanging out with chicks because, like, even though that idea is old, like, Hoonigan has literally done it with that dickhead Dan Bilzerian. And that video was awesome, though.
Well, and B.J. Baldwin.
Yeah, but B.J. Baldwin.
B.J. Baldwin was the common denominator.
He shreds, yeah.
Right, he's him.
But, like, the whole idea of, like, oh, we're at a party with chicks, like, I think that could probably die in 2022. Like, we can...
But it's a reality, though. Like, I agree with you, but they actually went and partied with chicks in Baja for the reveal of the...
They did.
Baja 1000.
They did.
Delivered.
100%. So. You're totally right. But the... But so
if
this
it was
video,
filmed in, like, it totally makes sense. But
yes.
I mean, that's the Lil Jon tie-in.
Yeah.
Lil Jon...
Well, he
DJ
gets in the
party.
They're DJ, at a party, and yeah. And Pewdie gets to text and says, we have to get to Papas and Beer, which there's a location in Rosarito, but there's also a location right in Ensenada, and that's the one they have to get to. So he's like, all right, come on, Lil Jon, let's go. And Lil Jon, it's really corny, the Lil Jon part, because he's like, okay. Like, of course he is. Like, all right, we get it. Like, Chappelle kind of ruined your stick for you. So because he's like, do you want to leave? And he's like, no. And like, it's... All right, we get it, Lil Jon. We know who you are. You don't have to do it. You should be like, nah, I'm good, man. Like, I want to stay here with these bitches, which would be worse than everything else I just said. So, He's like, should we take, Lil John's like, should we take this BMW i8 that's parked here? And they're like, nah. He's like, we're taking the truck. They fire up the trophy truck. It rips out. And, of course, it takes a super rad line. It just, it felt a little reminiscent of what BJ Baldwin had already done. However.
Like the recoil series?
Yes. Yeah. Some of the jumps and some of the slides were actually super fucking sick. There was this crazy street jump they did. And then all the video did for me was to show how much trophy trucks absolutely fucking rule mechanically.
Yeah.
So if you haven't watched Amped, it's out. AMPD, go watch it. I think it's I think the original Recoil is probably a bit better, even though it has people we don't really care about. The one guy, BJ Baldwin, seems cool, but
right.
But Amped was interesting in that it showed Alan and Pewdie are ripping, and maybe this dude's ready for some primetime spotlight in the trophy truck world.
I definitely want to check it out. I just I didn't get a chance in, you know, writing down my.
That's my more shit. Important. That's
but
more
important. But like, yeah, I didn't even know about it, which is weird. Like, I didn't see anything on social media, and like, I'm basically on vacation this week, yeah. So
I follow him.
I would see everything on social media, but right. Still, I'm sure it'll be interesting. I want to check it out.
I follow.
Like, I'm super impressed by everything off road now, especially right. You know, trophy trucks, and I've wanted some version of a trophy truck ever since Jesse James built one and like ripped it on the street like 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if it was a Monster Garage build or it might have even been like a weird West Coast Customs build, but like, you know, he's basically downtown Long Beach and like ripping around a corner on three wheels. And I was like, that's the coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Wheelies on the street and three wheel motion on the street. I don't care how you achieve it. That's the fucking dopest.
Yeah, I agree. It is rad to have the power and the capability to pull. Yep.
Yeah, just fucking.
I love that shit.
The way they move just like seems so impossible. It's like, oh, that's gonna flip and you're gonna die. And like, nope, just
nope. Walk. Got it. Totally got it.
Down so easily. Just go the other way.
Switching totally. Different gears to a car with no gears. I've been driving the Mercedes-Benz EQS the last week, and I love it. I would get the Porsche over it, but if you buy a Tesla Model S over the Mercedes-Benz EQS, you're fucking stupid. No. Just putting it out there. So the one I'm driving is the EQS 580. It's not the AMG, but it's the EQS. It's the Mercedes-Benz EQS 580.
How many different versions are there? Let's.
So there's two. There's two Mercedes-Benz versions, and then they recently just launched a Mercedes AMG version.
Is it on sale available now, or is it coming?
I think you can order the EQS now. I'm not 100% the Benz version. I'm not 100% on that, but I think you can order it. But I went to build it on their website, and it didn't even have the button to build it yet. But I mean, it's EPA rated. It's, I think you can reserve it, or I'm not 100% on the purchase status of it. However, the EQS 580 dual motor, so 4MATIC, all wheel drive, 516 horsepower, 626 pound feet of torque. The outside is kind of jelly beanish, but right. It's a 0.2 coefficient of drag, which is currently the most slippery production vehicle right now on market, just edging out the Tesla and the Lucid Air. It feels like an electric S-Class inside, and that is it's an S-Class experience, just quieter.
Yeah,
the hyper screen is crazy. It works well. It when you first saw the photos, you're like, whoa, dude, that's too much. It's not. It looks amazing. It works well. It has augmented reality navigation where it's like doing turns.
How's night driving like?
It's fine.
With my aging eyes, my deteriorating eyesight, like I wonder about like
it
all that screen at night. Like
it does auto brightness.
Like does it do it itself?
It does it. Yeah. It adjusts it all itself based on available light. It like it doing it throughout the whole day, not just at night. It's okay. Auto adjusting. It works well. It responds well. Having the big map is cool. The seats are great. The massage function. I mean, it felt like an S-Class and it was quiet. And then today or last night, I got a screw in the tire. Oh. So I'm not doing well with Mercedes products at the moment based on one we didn't talk about on the podcast. We're not going to, even though that car's fine. I didn't wreck a car or anything. I just, whatever. So I was going to shoot it today and I couldn't because it was holding a little bit of air, but it had like 9 PSI. So I put 45 PSI in it and I called them. I was like, yo, I got a screw in this tire. So they actually came and swapped it out for the EQS 450 plus, which is technically the base model. And I have that for two more days because we got to shoot video tomorrow. And this one's interesting because it's rear wheel drive, single motor, and it's still like 300 something plus horsepower. And this one is rated to return 350 miles, which is awesome. The EQS with the 516 horsepower does like 315 to 325 miles. And every test is getting way over that. So like in the 450 out there, people are hitting 400 miles of range, which is
Discount to the 350?
What's the price wise?
Yeah.
450 to 580. It's like a $10,000 swing. So it's like, I want to say it's like,
really? That's it? That's a fucking bargain buy.
It's really close. And the EQS 580, so the fancier one I was testing with the more power, and I'm going to say this in quotes, which you can't see unless you watch the video, was only 133, which feels way less than I would have guessed. Because a Model S Plaid, which does have more horsepower and is quicker and all that shit, it starts a little bit over that and then tops out at about 150. Yeah. Once you add in the Plaid, once you're at Plaid, you're at like 134 or something like that, where the base price of an EQS 580 is like 113. And then the one I was testing was 133.
Crazy to think of a Model S Plaid as a performance bargain, but there's really nothing fucking with it. Like,
right.
For the money.
Sure. Straight line money.
Right, exactly.
But but if
God bless you if you want to stop.
But if someone who had a Tesla Model S then went and sat in an EQS and like touched things in the car and just shut doors.
Throw their whole shit in the trash.
Yeah, a thousand times over. It is the S-Class has been, it's not always the standard of the world. But if it's not, it's pretty much.
Since Cadillac was the standard of the world, Mercedes S-Class has been the standard.
It's been. I've always picked.
Since the late 60s, early 70s.
Yes, I agree with you. I was trying not to push too hard, but my true feelings are that, yes, as soon as Cadillac went to like started building dog shit, which I would still buy their dog shit, but S-Class has been the king for decades. And it hasn't changed. And I mean, if you say, but the Tesla has this, I don't give a shit. It's such a better car than a Model S.
100% with you on that.
It's not even funny. It's crazy. I love it. I love the EQS.
I love to see detailers in their videos of Teslas
destroying
them. Like the panel gaps and like just the like serious like build issues that they have inside and out. Like, they're just like, you know, a regular ass S-Class, the most basic S-Class. Any Bentley, any fucking BMW, like, they account for all of these issues and have solutions. And it's like, it's clear the difference between somebody that's been making luxury cars for decades, even 100 years, as opposed to somebody that's been doing it for 10 years. Because they just don't understand the expectations and the things that really are eye-opening. Like, yo, that is absolutely unacceptable.
They don't have to, though, because the Kool-Aid has been drunk. I mean, Kia Tellurides wouldn't leave the assembly line with, and not to knock on Kia, I know that's an easy target, but Kias have been excellent for, you know, 20 years.
At least 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. All right. Next topic is project car updates. Do you have anything?
I hate all my cars.
What a way to kick off technically 2022.
Like a month or so ago, I was like, my shit is sick. I got 4 out of 5 cars running. My shit is fucking ugh. Like I was so proud. And that was a lesson in humility.
Yeah.
The Audi still, I don't know. I think they've started working on it.
Maybe.
I think so.
Maybe.
I'm not rushing. Like,
no.
Apparently there's a discrepancy between the original estimate and the actual cost of repairing the car. And it's like a $4,000 to $5,000 discrepancy. So I'm just like, I don't need to know about this. I don't need to be involved in this. Nope. You guys just figure it out.
Right.
Take as long as you need. Fix the car. Make it 100%. Like, that's all I care about.
Right.
Because if it's anything less than that, then I'm just going to want to sell the car and move on.
Yeah.
So that's the Audi. I went to go work on the Tahoe today to fix that loose control arm bolt that we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. And for the second time in 2 months, somebody has stolen my jack stands out of my garage. So I had to borrow a set of jack stands in order to do this. I'm just like, yo, I'm not going to buy another set. Like, this is crazy. Like, they left the box. Like, I put them back in the box. They left the box. Like, it's not like, oh man, maybe I left them somewhere else. Like, no. When I put the new wheels on the Mustang back in October, like late October, I bought new jack stands because mine were missing. I had 4 jack stands that were missing. I bought 2 new ones. I put them back in the box. I put them just behind my parking spot. And I went down today and I'm just like, this can't be. Like, randomly I have a bunch of car parts. I have tires for several different vehicles. I have wheels. I have brake rotors and calipers and stuff, like, all sitting behind my parking spot. And I don't go down there very often because the Tahoe's there now. So it's like, you know, I haven't driven it in weeks.
Right.
So I haven't been down there. But I went down there 2 days ago and I was like, oh, that's right. I pulled all these boxes out to break them down and to recycle them. And I think I just threw them everywhere. Like, I literally just threw them over my truck. And then I went upstairs and recycled one. And I think I forgot about the rest.
Oh, shit.
So I think I just had boxes like all over the parking garage, like this shared parking garage. And I came back down. I was like, I was thinking to myself a couple days ago, I was like, did I really throw those boxes out? Like, I don't remember breaking them down. Like, I remember throwing them and like being real obnoxious about it, but I don't think I actually broke them down. I went downstairs and somebody had nicely stacked them in front of my car. And I was just like, oh,
whoops.
Some people want to apology.
Yeah. Whoops.
Like, they've been down there like at least 5, 6, 7 days. I don't even know how long. But anyway, my plan for the next couple days between Christmas and New Year's is to get the brakes swapped on the Tahoe, put the factory sway bar back on, get the rotiforms back on, paint the bumper, paint the grill, and at least get that one vehicle back on the road. I ordered parts for the Mustang. I ordered mirrors. I ordered a ground strap. I ordered a wiring harness. AFI wiring harness. If I can get all that stuff this week, then hopefully I can get that car back on the road this week.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's work. It's not fun.
Okay. You know,
project car life sucks until everything is running and then you feel like a champion, and I'm hoping to be there.
All right. Well, good luck. Good luck with that. Yeah. Before we go to mine, I'm going to use the little boys' room real quick.
Let's go.
We're going to be right back.
Might as well do the same. Time out. you got?
Another beer.
I'll be proud of it. Okay, so I lied earlier.
Uh-oh.
I said I was drinking Bullet just because I almost always am, but it's actually Four Roses single barrel.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that changes things or not.
I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to lose an opinion of me, but
nice.
Fuck them.
All right. Before we get to our goals for 2022 and I stop burping, I'm going to jump to our questions. We only have two on Twitter, which is easy. Untitled Car Show at Untitled Car Show. Hi, how you doing? Did you get everything you want for Christmas? And do you want to drive the Fiero? Last week they asked us if the Fiero is great, and I really I would drive it if we were near each other and I could drive the car. I would be happy to drive your Fiero. Otherwise, I'm doing great, and I didn't ask for anything for Christmas because we're good. Ron.
Also, aren't you Jewish?
Well, not really. I mean, I look it and I am, but I'm not anything. I was never baptized. Well, no, okay. I was baptized, but I never went to Hebrew school and I never did any of that stuff.
Okay.
So I never got the money for what do you call it when you turn 13? What the fucking
bar mitzvah.
I look Jewish.
My brother
once did a 23andMe to prove to his wife how Irish he is. And he was 52% Ashkenazi Jew. So, and we are like 25 to 30% like Scottish Irish or something like, or Irish, not Scottish, Irish. There's also a lot of Polish in there. But no, we celebrate Christmas in this household. I'm an atheist, so I don't give a fuck about anything. But yeah,
I'm with you.
Christmas is fun. Celebrate what you want. Happy holidays.
Yes.
Not what that nitwit, and we're not going to get political on this show. I was going to say something about Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What she said recently. But okay, we'll move on. Maybe we should call that shit out too, or we're going to turn off some people.
No, she's an idiot. She referred to Kwanzaa as a religion, which it has never been.
It is not. Right.
Based on shared experiences and based on...
There's seven
tenets,
I don't
even want to say ethnicity, but just, you know, lineage.
There's seven tenets of it, right?
Yes.
And it's basically about being a good fucking person.
Listen, I am not the fucking, I am not the number one proponent of Kwanzaa. Like,
right.
I understand it. I respect it and appreciate it just like I do Christmas, just like I do Hanukkah, just like I do Ramadan or any other religious holiday. But it's not mine.
Right. You do you.
Not mine.
Right. My biggest lesson in Kwanzaa came from Futurama with Kwanzaa Bot. I have a lot to learn, Ron. Bertie Redfern, three favorite and least favorite cars in Bond films. I really don't have any that I dislike because, I mean, if it's in a Bond film.
Three and that one, like that wasn't fitting.
Which one?
There was a Z3.
Okay.
I don't remember which Bond film.
Yeah, that was GoldenEye.
Different names. Huh? Was it really? GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The best video game of all time.
Best video game. The pause music.
Also had the worst Bond car.
Yeah, but they sawed it in half.
I don't remember.
I know the answer to my three favorite. And I have a bonus favorite. My three favorite are, there's a 60-something Mustang in one of the early ones. There's the 2000 GT that was modified so Sean Connery could fit. So it's the only convertible 2000 GT ever. And then the DB5.
Hold on, what's the 2000 GT?
Lambo? Toyota 2000
GT. Oh, okay, right.
The Miura looking motherfucker.
I don't know if I agree with that, but well, it was convertible? Really?
Yeah, it's the only convertible 2000 GT ever so that Sean Connery could fit because it's a tiny fucking car.
Okay.
And then the DB5 because the DB5 is the DB5. And then I'm giving honorable mention to the E38 in the Pierce Brosnan film that he drives in the backseat with a Nokia because that is the movie that made me want an E38, and I still want one to this day. I don't have any least favorites. Your Z3 is a good answer, but I you know, I can't hate it either.
I mean, I can't. Can you love it? Like,
no. No, I cannot.
Yeah. So I have similar tastes. I forgot about the E38, but I love an E38. I've just been forbidden to buy one.
Right.
I don't know at what level of financial success I'll be allowed to purchase one, but
none.
Hopefully one day, because I think it's the best looking sedan ever.
Right. It's so good.
Yeah. But I'll leave that aside. I'd say my three favorite, and I don't really have worse other than the Z3, but like, I don't have like, there's nothing that I hate, but right. I'd say my three favorite bomb cars would be the DB5. The Underwater Lotus.
Sure.
And there was either a Z8 or the Alpina version of that. That was his car for one.
Yeah. Yep. He drove a Z8.
Like, I think those cars, they're like $250,000 now. And that seems ridiculous, but they were such a unique car for the era. They were so special. They were so well built. Like, that was a real fucking bomb car.
Didn't he drive a Jag in the one too, where with the dude who played Johnny Chan from Fast and Furious, who once, my favorite story about that guy.
I haven't seen all the movies, so I can't.
It was the one that was invisible at the Ice Hotel, but there was my favorite story about that actor who played Johnny Tran, who was in the Bond. He was a Bond villain, and randomly Matt Farah ran into him at like some party in LA, and somehow they bumped into each other and were talking for a minute, and Matt wasn't like asking him any questions, but the guy turned to him and was like, no autographs tonight, thanks. Matt's like, what the fuck, like, I don't give a shit. I forget the full details of the story, but it's very, very funny. Matt's like, dude, I don't want your fucking autograph. And he didn't say it exactly like that. All right. Instagram question.
Cooler if he did.
Yeah. Capital Sunset, who is a fantastic photographer who you should all be following. When will you have a Mitsubishi Owners Club episode? With you, we will do one soon. I'm going to reach out and I want to talk to you. He owns a car that is in Japan right now, and he does not live in Japan. He owns an Evo 5.
That sounds dope.
Yeah.
But, I mean, does he frequent Japan in order to drive it?
He was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And he would like to live there someday. But he lives in D.C. right now.
I don't blame him. I would like to live there someday,
right?
As well.
Yeah, you too would actually probably get along really well.
At least a few months out of the year.
Raza Hanif, opinions on prices of Blitz 03s and companies blatantly copying the design. That seems like a you question.
Yeah, Adam LZ has definitely popularized the Blitz 03 over the last year. Like, he's run them on a few of his cars and like just driven prices crazy. It's like, you know, that wheel in particular, it's like not any super special wheel. Like, it's not super rare. It's not like super lightweight or anything fucking crazy, but it's just,
is it a JDM staple?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a drift staple, and you know, it's not a wheel that I necessarily revere. Like, I'm all about the OZ, Italy, Speedline, that sort of shit from the 90s, BBS obviously, but they're outrageously expensive for what they are, but like, you know, they're not making any more of them, except that they are. Like, I think it's Heritage Wheel or three-piece, like their subsidiaries, they're making basically replicas of the Blitz 03, and I don't know, man, like, you know, I can't knock anybody for it, because obviously there's money to be made, and it is a staple, and if you're making it in new sizes, new fitments, new applications, hat tip to you, but like, if you're just basically recreating the centers for use in traditional barrels and traditional sizes, like, you know, I don't know, that's not exciting to me, but I don't know, the real shit is expensive now. It's just a reality. It's like, you know, OZ, like I said, OZ Futuras, any BBS from the 90s, like, stuff is scarce, and to find the right parts.
What? I just found a listing.
What happened?
I just found
saw an actual price. Yeah. What are you talking? What do you see?
This has to be a mistake.
No.
This is $20,000.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous.
New Blitz 03, new inbox.
New inbox, yeah.
$20,000?
I'm not saying it's worth it. This is not a cosign for me, but I don't, you know, it's like new old stock sneakers. Like, it's like prices for classic wheels are getting that way. New inbox, untouched, like original spec. Like, I mean, what are they, 18s? What fitment?
They were 18s.
What fitment, though?
Jesus. Oh, hold on. They were, I clicked out because my jaw fell out my asshole. Like, 5 by 114.3.
Yeah.
18 by 8.
Yep.
And 18 by 10.
Offsets?
Yeah. 45 and 35.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for a ton of Japanese cars. So
that's fucking insane.
They won't get that, but if they get 10 to 15, like, I wouldn't be surprised.
I thought the barrel had like it looks like the edge has a blue lip, but I wonder if that's just literally packaging tape.
Well, there's a bunch of different variations, but it's probably got just blue tape on the lip, but it could also be like fucking burned titanium finish.
And then ESR makes a replica for like $200.
Let's not go there.
And then I also just went randomly. I just found a Rotiform 19-inch aero disc for $75 from Eurotuning.
That is favorably priced.
Brixton makes wheels? What the?
It's not Brixton, the clothing company.
Oh, okay.
No correlation.
All right. I'm getting too far off. Fucking goddamn! $20,000.
Like I said, they'll never sell for that. But yeah, I mean, stuff is out of control, man. Like 80s, 90s shit is almost untouchable now, like really rare and authentic shit.
I had no idea. Wow. But yeah, if you correlate it to sneakers, I guess it makes
Adam sense. LZ, though.
It's okay.
Entirely responsible for the Blitz 03 fucking spike.
All right. Car.jpg. What is the perfect car for a mammoth trip? I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you what I did to the Maybach.
If you say Maybach, you're such an elitist prick.
So I had...
Everybody should.
I had
the way I did
a Maybach GLS 600 to drive. I drove it from my house in South OC to Mammoth for a few days, and it was amazing on the freeway. It was fucking perfect. It's a three row SUV with four seats. My daughter could figure out how to grab the little, there's like an iPad mini sunken into the center console in the back, and she could activate her own massaging seats, and she knew how to change the tracks because it was playing her music. But here's what I didn't want to talk about earlier, but it's cleared because I know the vehicle is okay. While we were up in Mammoth, we were going to go see this thing. There's this like, I can't remember the name of it, but it's off the beaten path. You have to drive down a dirt road, and it's this cool visual spot to see. I can't even remember the name of it, so I can't tell you what I'm looking for. But the directions aren't good. I'm driving on like graded forest roads in a Maybach GLS 600, and I pride myself on
not... What diameter wheels and tires?
Shit, I think I had 23s.
I think so, yeah.
So I'm cruising easily, comfortably. There's an off-road mode. It lifted the suspension a little bit, so we weren't hitting nose and tail on anything. And then I just didn't notice on the passenger side of the vehicle, it wasn't like a soft brush scraping against the side. It was like I scraped against a dead tree. So instead of leaving off-road pinstripes in the form that you can wipe off with your hand, I scratched the paint on a Maybach GLS 600 from nose to tail on the passenger side. This is what I wasn't going to talk about, but I'm talking about it now. And I did it, and I felt like a massive piece of shit because I pride myself on not hurting press cars. So I'm sweating about it, but we still have a few more days up there. We drive home. The car is running flawlessly. It's super comfortable. It is a ridiculous thing to say that this is the perfect Mammoth road trip vehicle, but it's the answer I'm going with right now. And I get home and I wash the car to see the damage. And then I use Meguiar's makes a thing called Scratch 2.0, which you kind of rub into the scratches, and this very superficial scratches, it cleans a lot of those up, and it got it looking way better. I immediately called them and said, hey, I did this. I'm really fucking sorry. Let me know what you need me to do. They're like, oh, we really appreciate you telling me, blah, 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 telling us. And all this
need
stuff.
You to fork out $14,000.
Two-tone paint job. The big thing with them is you always be honest. There are journalists who have tried to hide stuff. If you're honest and you're upfront, you're like, this is what I did. These vehicles are to be tested, and the way I test them is nothing like what like the buff books do, or you know, they destroy cars. I'm not saying they do it on purpose, but and so 95% of what I did to the vehicle buffed out with a simple detail is what they told me. And the rest of it's fine. They're not stressing about it. So the car is totally fine. Mercedes is not mad at me as far as I know, but I felt like a huge piece of shit, but I do have photos of it, and maybe I should put one in the podcast just so you can all see what I'm talking about. I should put the worst one in before I wash the car off, 'cause you guys will be like, oh my fucking God, you destroyed that car. And then I'll put the follow-up one.
I saw it.
Yeah.
You sent in a group chat, sent pictures of it, and I was just like, yeah. So only because I have an understanding of what is capable in the detail world of like restoring paint. Like yeah.
They cleaned it
like,
right up.
Removing scratches like that. Like if it was my car, I'd have been like, but it's nobody's personal car. It's a loaner. It is a corporate car. Those guys like can't expect you to only valet it,
of course,
and only drive it on the street. Like, you know, it's a real world review, and like shit happens. You didn't intentionally damage your shit.
Never. The funniest part for me was we parked it at Mammoth. There's a village, you know, it's a ski top, so there's a main village, and there's a parking lot next to that village. And I parked it there, and we went out to dinner and came back, and there was a business card tucked into the driver's side, and it was a business card for the like body shop manager of this Mercedes fleet management company based in Lakewood, California, that basically handles the cars that come into the country for Mercedes and like all this stuff. And I thought it was them seeing like, oh my God, somebody fucked up this Maybach. And I reached out to the guy just being like, hey, here's a story. Like kind of telling him like, this is crazy. I was laughing when I saw the business card. He's like, all he saw was, he said the 5506 plates. What that means is the Mercedes California distributor, so manufacturer plates, 5506 is Mercedes designation. If you ever see one, if you ever see one in camo and it says 5506, that's a Mercedes. He saw the plates. He thought it was someone he knows. So he didn't even, it was nighttime. He didn't even see the damage. And I emailed him. I'm like, yo, I'm genuinely curious. Like there's a chance you could see this car a week from now when they hand it over to you. What would the paint cost be? He's like, the paint cost for us is the same from A class to Maybach. And I was like, oh, that's actually really interesting.
Right.
The car's fine though. I'll put pictures in the thing. Explore Elements. How do you get into the Anti-Overland Club? He's making a joke about the sweatshirt I was wearing. There's a wonderful Instagram account called 4x4ward. That's literally the number 4X, the number 4, WARD, that does awesome drops of vintage off-road gear. And they have a great sweatshirt that says Anti-Overland Club that I just bought, which I think is very funny. Eyes Up Auto Art. What happened to Moto Affair? I don't know. He hasn't posted in a while. Sometimes this stuff can burn you out. I haven't spoken to him in a while. You know, maybe just you move on to other things and I don't know. I haven't spoken to him in a while. I hope he's doing well. I thought his Porsche keys are really cool, and he does other great stuff as well. So Rad23 Racer, who's friend of the show, Rick Radcliffe. Did you remember to lube the slider pins? He's talking about the fact that I just did my first brake job on a vehicle. I just changed the brake pads of my wife's CX-5. I was very intimidated by that job, because it's brakes and you don't want to fuck up brakes. And as soon as I was doing it, I was like, why was I scared of this? This is some basic ass shit. So
that's how I feel. And I'm about to tackle brakes on my Tahoe, but like brake suspension, typically shit that I just reserve to professionals, but we've gone over like my issues with the last couple shops that I've dealt with. And I'm just like, might as well do it myself.
It was so easy.
That's where I'm at.
I was laughing that I was intimidated by it. I literally was just changing pads. It was so easy.
I went to go work on the Tahoe today, and yeah, my my jack stands are missing.
Right.
It's like, always something. Like, it's like
Rad 23 Race.
I need a home.
You do need a home.
Where I have a private garage, tool set, just everything laid out.
I agree.
That's what I mean.
Rad 23 Racer. Should Porsche build an electric vehicle below the Taycan, like a Cayman Turismo? Well, there will be one below the Taycan. They're doing a Macan, which will be below the Taycan. Excuse me. I'm coughing like I smoked weed, and I swear that was just a sip of beer.
Check it easy.
Yeah, they're doing a Macan, so stay tuned to that. Dr. Wemmerling, do you have an idea what done will look like on the Montero? I do. Once I put the roof rack on and the awning on, that's basically all I want to do for the outside. It's more than I ever wanted to do to it, because now I'm not going to be able to put it into my garage, which I will accept that. Because I just want it to look a little bit tough, but not over the top. And then on the inside, it will be, if I really want to get this sleep platform done and add a few other things. But other than that, the rest will be fine tuning and fixing things that were stock, so that it is upgraded, bulletproof, and just ready to run forever, which it already kind of is. With it just needs a few more maintenance items. It won't look much different than it does now. So it'll look like it does now, but with the roof rack on it and the awning and the lights. And as far as the outside,
and either KMC or Black Rhino wheels.
No. Fuels.
Okay. Fuel 22x12s.
Oh my God. I really there's a pair of rotiforms I really like. I was gonna text you this the
pair.
A set of rotiforms. Yeah. Five rotiforms. The STLs are dope. Yeah, I know you
like those. Of course you like
those. Oh, those are dope. are they heavy as shit?
No, I mean, they're aluminum. They're not steelies.
Oh, I mean, they're actually
cast aluminum steely.
And heavy on.
They're like three times the price of steelies. It's wild to me that people like you exist, and you're just like, that's my wheel.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you people are idiots.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. I still have 1552's analogs, which are basically a cooler looking steel wheel done in aluminum. No, the outside of the Montero is done. It's fine tuning the engine and gearbox. Well, not gearbox, but yeah, we're basically done. And then Noya C. Mariner, wait, the podcast came back? I haven't seen it on my feed. Yeah, this is episode 314. So we're 14 episodes in.
Back. Welcome back.
Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. So, we're going to wrap this up with our goals for 2022.
Gio.
Ron, do you have three goals?
Oh, man. I got a bunch of goals. I got a bunch of goals, but none of them are unattainable. And, like, listing them doesn't make them any less attainable, honestly. But my number one goal, time-wise, like, you know, timeline-wise, I should say, is to finish my Targa project, which is at the body shop, which is
which
getting
project?
Reassembled, and then it goes to...
No, wait, which project? Shop.
Yeah, I haven't talked about this, I don't think. I feel like Targa? I may have mentioned it once, but maybe not. But I have I am overseeing a 1984 911 Targa project.
Oh, your buddy's car.
It's like a resto mod.
Yeah, for your friend.
Yeah, it's like a friend of family or family of friend. I don't even know which order that would go in. But the car is like slightly upgraded from stock. It's like, you know, a lot of period correct pieces. You know, we're doing 17-inch rotiform FUC wheels, which are basically replicas of the original wheels, but just 1 inch in diameter larger. Like, you know, it's like just so many subtle upgrades, and I really don't like, you know, I don't know. It's been a weird project just because it's evolved over the course of COVID. And sure. It's like, there's been many pivots and twists, and it's like, all right, well, we've got this, so let's abandon that. You know, it's like, yeah, let's take the easy way out. Let's, you know, let's go towards a more original flavor. So it's like the way the project started and the way the project ends are going to be worlds apart, but it's still going to be fucking dope. It's going to be a very near original 1984 Porsche Targa, but with a little bit of a backdate flavor, but also like upgraded lighting, like LED lighting front and rear, and like, you know, just some like cool modern touches, but like it'll all work. So I'm excited to finish that. Hopefully we'll finish that in January.
Okay.
My Mustang, I want to redo completely. I want to kind of get away from the Japanese vibe and go for a more like classic period correct, like 90s flavor.
Okay.
I want to design my own wide body for that. And I have a coworker that like 3D prints body kits, fenders, like large panels like that. And I hope to work with him to kind of bring that to fruition. Killer Mike's Grand National has been sitting at Hoonigan for a year and a half, almost 2 years now, with the Hellcrate motor just on the side, waiting for the go ahead. The plan is a full Art Morrison chassis with an IRS, and just get that thing as low as possible, as mean as possible, with some like 20, 21 inch rotiform wheels and just nastiness. Like, and that should happen in the first half of next year. Besides that, I want to buy a jet boat. It's like my guilty pleasure fantasy for 2022 is I want a jet boat. Like,
you need a house so you can store the jet boat.
That is part of it. But I want a house just so I can keep all of my cars and my jet boat at my house. Like, buying a house is a priority.
I'm not going to knock it. I like it.
But the reason for buying a house is to have storage for all of my cars and my boat.
Yeah, 1,000%. I like it. Cheers to your
goals. That's where I'm at.
Cheers to
that's where I'm at.
Goals. My three goals for 2022. I'd like to get the Montero to full Weekend Warrior camping spec. So this ties into the earlier question. Weekend Warrior camping spec, where on the outside it looks like, oh, that Montero looks a little tougher than normal. And then on the inside, if I need to spend a weekend tucked away in the woods somewhere, it's not a problem. I'll have the power. I'll have the storage. I'll have all the shit I need to sleep comfortable inside the vehicle. And I don't think that's difficult. I think that's extremely achievable. My second goal is to have the Jaguar that's behind me. If I turn down these lights, the Jaguar.
We see it. We see it.
If I would like to get that fully sorted. And what that means is figure out why it's drinking oil at a fucking prodigious rate.
So weird.
Could be crankcase ventilation related. I don't know. I got to pull the plugs. I still haven't done that. I would like to get the 700R4 sorted. It might need a rebuild because I think the TV adjustment is fully adjusted, and I don't know. I would like it to get it so I can drive it normally just in drive instead of having to shift it, even though it's an automatic. And then the third major component of having it fully sorted is getting rid of the fuel smell. And that is potentially extremely cost prohibitive. Because to get in there, because it has saddle tanks, I think you have to drop the fucking rear end or you have to go in and rip apart the trunk. It's like 2 days just worth of labor.
Fucking big ass fan in the trunk and louver the rear deck.
No, I want to get it because when I go to sell this thing, which ties into my third goal, when I go to sell this thing, I want to hand it over and I don't want to get like, why does it smell like fuel? Why is that shift weird? Like, I want to hand it over and be like, blammo, it's yours, baby.
I get it. But also that's why I don't sell anything.
That's true. Well, so again, ties into my
third goal. I don't wish this upon you. These are my issues and my issues only. I put up with them.
So my third goal is probably anybody who's listened to this podcast long enough, see a V8 put into the nose of my Mercedes-Benz wagon and then sell the Jag. This has been a goal for going on 8 years. And I think 2022 is the year. This is the car that is gonna. This is the car that's gonna end COVID.
Let's go.
This is the car. The Wombat will end COVID. You've heard it here first, folks. The day that the V8 goes in there and we hit start on that car, Fauci's gonna come on and be like, "There's no more variants. We've done it. I don't know what happened. We got a burst we got a burst of energy out of California and it wiped everything out. I don't know how to explain it." That will be the power of the Wombat. It's gonna be like Bill and Ted going into the future to meet George Carlin and changing the face of the world. That is what's going to happen if the Wombat comes to be. And it's going to happen in 2022.
LFG.
Let's fucking go. You're allowed to swear in this podcast. So 2021 in the rearview mirror. I'm glad we brought the podcast back. I just spit on my keyboard. I'm very happy and grateful in my wonderful co-host, Ron Baugh. Thank you so much.
I am thrilled to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity just to have an outlet to talk shit week to week.
Let's talk shit.
I mean, that's what we did.
I heard you talking shit. And here's hoping for a brighter 2022.
Yes.
Pick your drink up. Cheers to that. Let's cheers to that. We're ending the note. Well, we're starting 2022 on a cheers.
100.
We'll see you all the rest of the year. The podcast isn't going anywhere. Bye.